the two sisters were excited because tonight they were to have an important visitor. A friend of their brother Lazarus was coming for dinner. And so one sister, Martha, ran around cleaning and preparing, fixing food, while the other sister, Mary, sat in quiet contemplation, in prayer, and in the silence. When the visitor arrived, Mary sat at his feet, listening to his words of wisdom, while Martha continued to run around cleaning and preparing food, until finally she went to the visitor and she said, "Will you ask my sister to help me?" But the visitor, whose name was Jesus, said, "Martha, you distract yourself with many things, but there is only one thing. And Mary has chosen the greater part, which will be with her always." Mary has chosen the greater part, which will be with her always. Frankly, this story has always irritated me because I am a Martha. And they had to eat, right? And couldn't Mary get off her butt and help? It took me a long time to understand Jesus' words that we are only one thing and Mary has chosen the greater part. We are both human and divine. And Martha was choosing the lesser part, the human part, while Mary was choosing the spiritual part, the greater part. In time spent in meditation and with spirit within, Mary was rising to the truth within her, that Christ nature. And she would be able to bring this to everything she did. It would spill over into all of her relationships, all of her experiences. And so as we choose the greater part, we too recognize our spiritual truth. Eric Butterworth, Unity icon, minister, writer, wrote this book, Breaking the Ten Commandments, Discover the Deeper Meaning, because he wanted to talk about the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, as a time of spiritual awareness, beyond the law that was handed down to Moses on Mount Sinai. The fourth commandment and keeping the fourth commandment is a personal discipline, a practical teaching for our everyday lives. Like our co-founder Charles Fillmore, Eric Butterworth believed that the Bible and the stories in the Bible, including the Ten Commandments, were a reflection of our evolution of personal consciousness. And so as we spend time in the Sabbath, we recognize our spiritual nature, and we can check that out in our everyday lives as we work, as we think, as we move through life as spiritual beings. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." And so the Sabbath is a teaching for us of resting in the presence of God, a teaching that goes beyond law. Butterworth suggested that as we practice the Sabbath, we find a sense of wholeness. And I believe that that wholeness can be experienced in body, mind, and spirit. And that's what I want to talk about today, finding the Sabbath in body, mind, and spirit. The body practices the Sabbath in some very significant ways. Did you know that the heart beats 75 times a minute? 75 times a minute, it contracts and dilates. day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for your entire lifetime, this organ does this work. What you may not know is that after every contraction, there is a time of rest for the heart. There is a time when the heart is still. And so for every 24 hours that the heart beats, 15 hours, the heart is at rest. Isn't that amazing? I did not know that. And we all know that the body practices or needs to practice a time of rest or a Sabbath in other ways too. For example, sleep. Okay, we all know what happens when we don't get enough sleep. We don't fire on all cylinders, right? We're not as effective, we're not as efficient, we're not as creative. Athletes need adequate sleep to perform. And so sleep, I think it's really underrated. We need sleep. And Eric Butterworth says in his book that sleep is the greatest beauty treatment. Because as we get enough sleep, the bags go away, the wrinkles disappear, our face relaxes. It's a lot cheaper than plastic surgery. And another way that we can practice the Sabbath actively is to fast. That's kind of a rarity anymore, but it was very popular and is very popular in some religious denominations to spend a day fasting and allowing the digestive system to relax completely. And so fasting is a great way to practice the Sabbath in the body. Another way is yoga. How many here practice yoga? I bet, quite a few people. In the poses, which can be very strenuous, we really go inward to the body, don't we? It's the breath that is the most important thing in practicing yoga. And the final pose, Shavasana, is called corpse pose because we completely rest, taking in all the benefits of our practice. Probably my favorite way to practice the Sabbath in the body is to go for a walk in nature, and I bet a lot of you do that as well. I've been working in the hospital this summer as a chaplain, and I can tell you that after a challenging day, I love to go for a walk, particularly at Unity Village, and I bet a lot of you have been on that walk, to see the light filtering through the trees, to hear the animals scurrying around and smell the fragrances. It is so purifying, restoring, and renewing. You know, just as the seasons change from winter to spring, and animals who are in hibernation and flowers who go underground are renewed and restored after a time of rest in this macrocosm world, in the microcosm, we too need to go underground and go into a period of rest to feel restored and renewed. So that's Sabbath in the body. What about Sabbath in the mind? We need to practice Sabbath in the mind. We need to take a break from thinking. What a relief. And as Eric Butterworth suggests, that can be effectively done in meditation, in times of quiet, in times of silence. The last term I was at school, I didn't take any classes, but I took a workshop, a silent meditation workshop. It was a Buddhist Vipassana meditation. And so for about 4 days, we sat in silence for 35 to 45 minutes at a time, several times in each day. And it wasn't like contemplative prayer or focusing on a mantra where, you know, you would focus your mind in some way. It was a complete clearing of the mind, or at least an attempt to do so. And that's a difficult thing to do. But as we would do that, thoughts would come by and they were like clouds. We would just let them float away without putting any emotional attachment on them. After about a day and a half doing this, I told my husband, I'm not going back, too hard. I can't stand this. Because as you do this, things arise. thoughts arise, worries, anxieties. It's very challenging. Another thing we did at this silent retreat was we did a walking meditation where we would walk one foot in front of the other with about a person's distance in front of us and just take in the feeling of the gravel underneath our feet, the sights and the sounds of nature around us. I found that I really wanted to push that person in front of me. You know, I told you I'm a Martha, right? But it was a beautiful time, actually. And the other thing we did, which was very interesting, was an eating meditation. So we would eat in silence, feeling the texture of the food in our mouths, smelling the aroma of the food. And we really knew when to put down our forks because we were very conscious. It's all about consciousness, conscious of that time of eating. And so it's important to allow the mind to rest. That is the meditation of the mind. In complete rest, the Buddhists say, we can find right action, right understanding, and right effort. But we have to allow ourselves that time. And so I've talked about Sabbath in the body, time of rest, Sabbath of the mind, a thinking and clearing of thoughts. And now I'm going to talk about Sabbath of the spirit. And you might ask, what the heck is that? Sabbath of the spirit? Sabbath of the spirit is a time of getting to know someone who's very important to you. You. And as you get to know you, you get to know God. I'm going to repeat that. As you get to know you, you get to know God. How many of you remember the movie Dead Poets Society? It's kind of old now. Great movie. I loved it. It tells the story of Robin Williams, who is an English teacher at a very elite and aristocratic prep school. His name is John Keating. And when he had attended this prep school for boys, he had created this thing called the Dead Poets Society, where he and his friends would go off to a cave in the woods and read poetry. When he came back as an English teacher and saw how strict the school was and how encouraging to the individuality of the students, he reinstituted or invited the students to reconnect with this Dead Poets Society. And so a group of boys would go out at midnight and go into this cave and read poetry and act out their alter egos and follow their hearts. They would become actors and poets and lovers. They would begin to know who they were at core. It was an incredible growth of the spirit. You know, if the purpose of life is for living, then why not live from our core? Why not express that God, that Christ within us every day? Why not inspire ourselves, remember to practice the Sabbath spiritually? And so my call to action for you for next week is to do this, to do one of these things I've talked about, to spend a little more time in meditation. I don't think anyone is so busy they can't spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes in meditation a day, but maybe extend that time next week one day. Or try fasting for a day. It's interesting. Really, you get clarity. Or memorize a poem and act it out. Be a little outrageous. A little. Do something out of the ordinary to really express who you are at your core. So back to the story of Martha and Mary. I'm still a Martha, yeah. I was talking about this story with a friend at the seminary, and she said to me, she said, you know, I wonder what happened after Jesus left. Do you think Martha changed her ways? Do you think she repented? And my answer to that was no, I don't think so. But maybe Martha wasn't so distracted anymore Maybe when she was cleaning or cooking for her family, she found those experiences could be as spiritual as when she sat in prayer. We know that all of our activities, all of our interactions can be sacred times. We can find the divine in everything, in anything. And we can know that everything, everything is holy now. Namaste.